Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, and welcome to the Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD podcast. This is episode number 117. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. If you are looking for strategies to live a naturally healthy life, you are in the right place. I am so thankful to be here today and have this opportunity to share these skills that I've used to reclaim my health and live my naturally healthy life in a way that's meaningful and powerful for me. And to get the opportunity to share this for every other woman who wants that result in their life, reclaiming their health on their terms is truly a privilege. It is really early in the morning. I'm recording this really early on a Saturday morning. Everybody's asleep in my house. I'm drinking some hot water with lemon in it. It kind of tastes like candy. I know that's crazy, but that's a thing for me lately. It's so awesome. So I'm kind of enjoying this quiet time for me and getting the opportunity to talk to you about negativity bias. You know, that's going to be a fun time. I woke up early on a Saturday for this. We are going to talk about negativity bias and how it impacts the decisions that we're making and how to do it differently and how to like change that in our brain. So that's what we're talking about today. Before we get started, I do want to talk about my 5-day free session coming up for November, November 15th through the 19th. Get in on it. It's for women with type 2 diabetes. You learn the basics for reversing your type 2 diabetes in that 5-day session. The holidays are coming, my friends. Statistics will tell you, it's been repeated over and over. Statistically, Americans will get heavier, more adiposity, and we know adiposity is inflammatory. If you haven't heard me talk about that, check out a podcast. I did it probably, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, about disease associated with adiposity. So the holidays put on adiposity. They create more adiposity on our human bodies. In addition to that, all of those treats create more insulin resistance. Americans get sicker throughout the holidays. This program in November, this 5-day free session in November, will help you learn how to prevent getting sicker through the holidays and maybe even learn how to get healthier through the holidays. So if that's something you're interested in, go to my website, DelaineMD.com. You can get registered there. If for some reason that doesn't work, email me, Delaine@DelaineMD.com, so that you can get started figuring out how to reverse this diabetes thing, have some tools in your tool belt to get you through the holidays this year. All right, let's dig into negativity bias. So we're going to talk about what this is. I'm going to define it. But beforehand, I want to talk about how it shows up in our experience and see if any of this resonates for you. I'm going to give some personal examples, and then I'm also going to give examples that I see with my clients where they have thoughts, and the thoughts you can see are rooted in this negativity bias and how it's showing up, how it's creating results for them. So a lot of times these thoughts, we think we're just sharing the news. We're just reporting the news. We're saying what's there. Or the other story that we tell ourselves is we're looking at all the possibilities. We're just doing a really thorough evaluation of what's going on. But really, it's this negativity bias. And I'm going to talk again about what that is and how do we manage that in a way that serves us and gets us results that we want. So examples of negativity bias is when we have thoughts that this isn't working, I'm not doing it right, this isn't going the way I wanted it to, it's not working. Or another thought of, I can't do this. Like, I don't know how. I don't have the help I need. I don't have the knowledge I need. I can't do this. Another thought, it's all going to fall apart. It's not going the way I planned. Something happened and threw a wrench in it, and it's all going to fall apart. Other examples, when we go to the worst case scenario for situations, that's negativity bias flaring up right there. Or when we think others think or believe the worst about us. That's also an example of negativity bias. So see that these thoughts, these situations that we're having thoughts about are not always about the food that we're eating. Sometimes it's about professional situations. Sometimes it's about personal relationships. Sometimes really trivial things like the outfit we're wearing. But our brain's interest and drive in pointing out the negative things in our experience is really pretty endless. It's not just about food. It's not just about work. It's not just about relationships. It's about all sorts of things. And none of this is really a problem as long as you know it's optional. Recognizing that these thoughts are optional thoughts is very liberating from the outcome, the discomfort, the suffering, the distress associated with these thoughts. Seeing the results that these beliefs are getting us allows us to decide to change it if we want. So if you've listened to this podcast, if you listen to any of my other episodes, you are probably familiar with a tool that I use in coaching called the thought model. It's composed of 5 parts: the circumstance, thoughts, feelings, actions, and results. When you put it together, circumstances happen. Circumstances are things that happen in our experience of the world. But we have thoughts about those circumstances. Those thoughts create feelings in our bodies. Those feelings drive our actions. And those actions are what give us our results. When you put these thoughts that are rooted in negativity bias through the thought model, you frequently will find you don't love the results that you're getting. So examples, you get a fasting blood sugar of 130. Like you check your blood sugar, that's a circumstance, right? Like you have a monitor, your glucometer, you check your blood sugar, and it's fasting sugar and it comes up at 130. And you have a thought, this isn't working because a fasting sugar should not be 130. 130 is not normal. And you feel angry because it's not working. And from that anger, you have a rage eat with a bag of Oreos. Your result in that thought model is that sure as shit it's not working. In the moment, you're believing it's not working because of the 130 on the glucometer. Why it's actually not working is because you had this rage eat with the Oreos. That's creating your diabetes not getting reversed. It's not the 130, it's the Oreos that you ate. When you're considering the option of reversing your diabetes, reversing your diabetes is a circumstance. Like that's something you can do. All goals are circumstances. They're just goals that you have. Reversing your diabetes might be one of those goals, but if you have a thought, I can't do this, that feels helpless and hopeless. From that helpless and hopeless feeling, you don't do the things that are available to you. Like you don't listen to podcasts like these so that you can get skills to stop eating the foods that are making you sick. You may know about my program, but because you believe you can't do this, you won't sign up or you won't come and consult for my program. Maybe you understand that like you just need to stop eating junk food, but because you have a belief that you can't do it, you don't stop the junk food. That's the part that gets us stuck. And then of course we feel hopeless and helpless because we have a belief we can't do it. In addition to that, we have worry that we're gonna die early, fear that we're going to have a heart attack because we know type 2 diabetics are at a higher risk for having a heart attack, or fear that we're going to end up with COVID and die from COVID because we also know type 2 diabetics are more likely to have a bad outcome like death from a COVID infection. We have anxiety because we know that we're not doing it right. We feel defeated because we can't seem to figure it out. And from those feelings, we bury those feelings into a bag of Oreos, right? That result that you get from all of those actions, not signing up, not taking opportunities that are available to you, eating the bag of Oreos, that's why you're not doing it. That is why you don't reverse your diabetes, okay? It's not because there's actually something wrong with you. It's because you have a belief that you don't do it. You're not gonna do it. You can't do it. So say you get another circumstance. You get laid off from your job and you have a thought, it's all going to fall apart, right? Getting laid off from your job is a circumstance. Anybody can go to your HR department and find your work file and see that you got laid off, right? The thought that it's going to all fall apart because you got laid off, I'm not going to be able to afford the things that I need to afford, and it's all going to fall apart, that creates fear. It probably creates a lot of other feelings, but your initial feeling is fear from that. And from that feeling of fear, because all human beings hide when we feel fearful It is the natural, probably hardwired response to fear. Recognizing, of course, fear can totally be overcome. Like, lots of people will act despite a fear. And if you've ever heard me talk about courage, I've done a podcast on this before. This was something I learned when my son was in the Marines, when I was, you know, they had family day when my son graduated from the Marines and I was there, and they talked about the Marines and the values and the core, you know, values of Marines, what they were teaching my kid for the last 13 weeks. And one of the things that that was really impactful for me was courage. And they teach the Marines that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is action in spite of fear. And that was so powerful to me, because fear, human beings, when we experience fear, we will hide. It is the natural response to fear. So when you get laid off from the job and you have a thought that it's all going to fall apart and you feel fearful, you end up sitting on the couch and you watch Netflix for 2 weeks, probably with a bag of Oreos, because that's a theme I seem to be using, and you avoid looking for another job. From that action, it all falls apart. It's not because you lost your job that it all fell apart. It's because you sat on the couch and didn't look for another job that it all falls apart. Another circumstance, you're buying a new car, right? Like, should be super excited. But of course, in the back of your head, there's this thought, I'm spending all this money, something might happen, and I'm going to need this money later, and I'm going to regret this decision. And you worry. From that worry, you spend all of your mental resources and your time with thoughts about worry, thoughts about something might happen. You create more worry. And your result is you do regret buying the car. You regret buying the car from borrowed emotions that haven't even happened yet, right? Nothing bad happened, but you are creating more and more worry, more and more of a feeling that something did happen. Your experience is actually happening from a belief that something did happen, even though it didn't. You feel badly from that belief. That is what's creating it being a problem in your regret. Lastly, you have a circumstance where you're going to a new party. You're going to a party and you know there's going to be new people. Like, that's a decision you've made. Everybody can see you going to this party, and there are people at this party that you do not know. And you have a thought that they won't like me. I'm going to say the wrong thing. They're not going to think I'm smart enough. They're not going to like me. And you feel really self-conscious, maybe fearful, but definitely self-conscious. And from that self-conscious feeling, you go to the party, you don't engage, you avoid new people, you don't talk to anybody, or you only stay around people that you already know. Your result from that experience is that, of course, they don't like you because they never got a chance to know you because you didn't engage. Has nothing to do with you. Has to do with those actions that came out. So the recognition that all of these are optional, all of these optional thoughts that get you results you don't want, they are optional. Not only are they not getting you the results you want, but they're actually creating evidence of the exact things that you're worried about. And all of it comes from negativity bias. So what is negativity bias? Negativity bias is the bias of focus by our brains on things that are negative. So it's the over-exaggeration of the negative, or the overemphasis of the negative by our brains. This is a hardwired function of our brains, of the human brain. Why? Because 10,000 years ago, this served us quite well, right? I always talk about 10,000 years ago, and why? It's because the way our bodies work from 10,000 years ago to now is not very different. So whenever I talk about, and I don't know, it's maybe more than 10,000 years ago, I just use that as a random example. But when we recognize that the way our brain functions and the way that our bodies work today is it's not different from the way it was 10,000 years ago, and we see that our bodies are really wired to manage what was going on 10,000 years ago and where it's not serving us in modern times, that's where this 10,000 years ago comes in, right? So negativity bias 10,000 years ago served us very well because we had to focus on the negative. If we did not focus on the negative when we popped our little heads out of the cave, and we weren't focused on the negative, but instead we saw a beautiful flower across the field. And we're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go across this field and I'm going to get that beautiful flower and it's going to smell so amazing and I'm going to pick it and it's going to be fabulous. And we'd run to the flower and we didn't pay attention that there was a snake on the ground and that snake bit us and killed us. Or we didn't see that there was a saber-toothed tiger waiting to pounce on us for breakfast and we got killed. Like, we can't propagate our genes from that space, and that's what our human bodies are driven to do, is to propagate us as a species. We had to have negativity bias. We needed it in a time when our environment was more dangerous. But of course, in modern times, it's not. And we don't necessarily need to have an overemphasis on the negative. We're totally safe. But we're never going to undo the hardwiring. Like, that's just a hardwiring of our brain. And it's totally fine that our brain offers us the negative as long as we decide intentionally if we want to act from that. So using that thought model, we can do what's called a model break. When we know that a thought and a feeling is not going to get us the result that we want, then you just sit with a feeling. I call this putting it in the backseat. You put the feeling in the backseat of the car. It's not necessarily going to go away immediately. Like, you're not going to be able to fix this in 5 minutes. But recognize it doesn't need to be driving the car or being the deciding factor for your action is really what I mean by driving the car, right? I like this analogy of driving the car and putting it in the backseat, because if you've ever driven with somebody who wants to give you a lot of input on your and direction on your driving, I've always felt that one of the best ways to handle that is to put them in the backseat of the car, right? Then they can't see so much of what's going on of the driving decisions. And then, of course, when they give input, you just ignore it. And over time, they stop giving their input. So the same thing happens with these thoughts. When we stop acting or driving the car from the feelings that these negativity bias thoughts create, then we stop getting the results that are created by those thoughts, is really what it comes down to. Recognizing that we create more evidence of the original belief that lives in our brain, right? Like, so if you have a negativity bias thought or belief in your brain and you are acting from that, you will act in a way that creates more evidence of that belief. This is how our brains work. When you let the beliefs and feelings that are rooted in this negativity bias drive the car and create your action, you will create more evidence of the negativity bias through those actions. What a kick in the teeth that is, right? So to fix this, we have to have awareness of what's going on, right? We need to be aware that negativity bias is a thing, right? We need to see what our brain is creating. And then we decide if we like the results. If we do, nothing needs to change. But if we don't, we decide if we want to change that thought. So the change does not happen just by thinking something different. Everybody wants it to be that simple. It would be really nice. I know lots of times that folks are like, oh, it's not my thoughts. It's something else. I don't need to work on my thoughts. They believe that thoughts are soft things, easy things. That's not the problem. That's not real. And I would offer that if you've ever tried to change a thought that you're having, a belief that you have, you realize how powerful thoughts and beliefs are, because they are some of the hardest things to change. So one of the tools that I teach my clients for initiating this thought change is to ask yourself, what else is true? It is one of my favorite questions. I feel like it's one of the most powerful questions out there. So if you're having a thought about the glucometer reading 130 for a fasting blood sugar, and you're telling yourself it's not working, then asking yourself, what else is true? What else is true about 130 on my glucometer right now for a fasting blood sugar? A lot of times you find out that 130 is way better than the 200s that were your fasting blood sugars 2 weeks ago. And clearly, if you look at that entire story, it is working. The story that it's not working is not even true. If you're having a thought that you can't do this, you can't reverse your blood sugars, you can't reverse your diabetes, ask yourself, what else is true? There's a lot of help out there for reversing diabetes. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit. Like, cut out the processed foods, cut out the sodas, cut out the candies. If you're struggling to do that part, there's programs like mine. There's podcasts, my podcast. This is 117 episodes of help for you to reverse your diabetes. There's my 5-day free session. There are a lot of things that you can do to reverse your diabetes. What else is true about reversing your diabetes? When you have a thought that it's all going to fall apart because I lost my job, what else is true about that? Because you can always get another job. Maybe it won't be the same job. Maybe it won't have the same pay. Maybe you won't love it as much. But everything isn't falling apart either, right? That's a thought error. It's not even true. If you're having that thought about, I'm going to regret spending the money on my car, what else is true? Because you know you've saved money for it. You know you've reviewed your finances. You know how you can or cannot afford it. In fact, you also know that nothing catastrophic has happened in so many years, right? Like, maybe something catastrophic happened 10, 15 years ago. Maybe it was last year. Maybe. How frequently are financial catastrophes happening in your life, right? Evaluating that. If you tell yourself financial catastrophes are happening every other month, maybe you don't want to get a car. That's totally fine. That's on the table. But if financial catastrophes aren't really happening for you frequently, and in fact it's been years or decades, you know that. Your brain's just offering you this catastrophe that isn't even happening, right? You know what this looks like for you. What else is true? And then lastly, if you're going to that party and you know you're going to be meeting new people and you have a story that they might not like me, what else is true? They might like you. In fact, lots of people like you. In fact, the people who invited you to the party, they know you and they like you and they know them and they probably have thought, oh, those folks will probably like them quite a bit. They know this. What else is true? Ask yourself that question. Asking this question causes our brain to shift from the focus, or to shift its focus from the negative, from that negativity bias, to evidence of other thoughts. What evidence is out there about other thoughts that might be true? Other thoughts that will give me different results. And then we can start to consider other outcomes, and suddenly it's not all doom and gloom, right? As humans, we're almost addicted to this negativity bias. We believe it to be truth. In fact, many major religions discuss this. The Buddhist and Hindu religions both have a term called dukkha, and it's translated into suffering. And really, it's this focus on negativity. It's negativity bias. The Native American spirituality of Dakota and Lakota spiritualism has a concept called the Black Road. And again, it's this negative experience that we have from our actions. Toltec traditions discuss humans being addicted to suffering and that it's a dream that we can wake up from. So this question, what else is true, helps you wake up from that dream. As you go through this week, see where negativity bias is showing up in your life. When you see it showing up in your life, ask yourself, what else is true? What else is true in this moment? For many women, it's these thoughts that are based in negativity bias regarding your diabetes and your health that keeps you stuck in your sickness. This is what's at the heart of what leads to type 2 diabetes. No one needs me to tell them to lay off the bag of Oreos. You know that. The reasons that you're deciding to eat the Oreos because of thoughts like I can't do it or it's not working, that's the part that's keeping you stuck. And this is what my program does. This is what is different about my program. Yes, you learn the science of reversing diabetes. You learn the science of type 2 diabetes and how to reverse it. But you also learn the tools to reprogram your brain from things like negativity bias. Reprogramming the way that we make decisions in order to stop sabotaging ourselves so that you can start living your naturally healthy life. If that's what you're ready to do, send an email, delaine@delainemd.com, to set up a consult so you can get started. I will be back next week, and I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit delainemd.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.